إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله we're going to begin the tafsir إن شاء الله of سورة الحديد and we'll be taking just two verses from tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid, and those verses are verses 22 and 23 bi-ibnillah, 22 and 23. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding and then reward us all abundantly. Allahumma ameen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Surah Al-Hadid, in this ayah, verse 22, Allah is talking about what is known as the qadar, especially that has to do with al-aqdar or musibah. Masa'ibu dunya, the trials of the world. Now the trials of this world, whether affecting individuals directly or not affecting individuals directly, that they are part of the qadar that has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض. There is no musibah that befalls the earth. It means musibah may not be limited to the one that befalls individuals. That befalls individuals, maybe on health, maybe risk, you know, and well-being, you know. Allah taking the lives of Ahbab may not only be limited to that. Here Allah says, Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi. There's no musibah that befalls on the earth. It could be earthquake. When there is earthquake, it is musibah on the earth. It is part of the musibah that befalls the earth, which will in turn affect human beings and other creatures of Allah on the earth surface. So ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض. There's no مصيبة that befalls on the earth, you know. It could be warring, war. When there is war, for example, it is part of مصيبة that befalls people on the earth. When two or more countries are in war, you know, a lot of things would suffer on the earth surface. It is part of the musibah of the earth. It is part of the musibah. People would die. you know, trees to be cut down, businesses to be affected. When the issue of Israeli, US, Iran saga started, we know what has befallen the economy of the world. The economy of the world. You know, even when the Ukraine, Russia issue, since when it started, you know, what happened to the issue of petroleum and gas resources in the world generally. So there's no, all these things, they are part of the musiba of the earth. They are part of the musiba of the earth. If there is no rainfall and people are suffering for drought, it's part of the musiba of the earth. Dry land, crops are dying, there's no rainfall. It is part of the musiba of the earth. And that was why when a man went to the Messenger of Allah on the day of Jummah, and he started complaining about one of the musiba, you know, they were experiencing, and that was the fact that there had not been rain for weeks, for months. So he complained on the day of Jummah that their crops are dying, their animals are even dying as a result of the fact that there was no water. O Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah to rain for us. Right there on the minbar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hand and prayed for rainfall. The companion said he had not dropped his hand when they discovered that it started, you know, it became cloudy. It became cloudy and it started raining heavily. They all got soaked, you know, in the rainwater when they were going back home. But the rain never stopped. That is part of, you know, inna Allah yaf'alu ma yurid. Allah does whatever He will. Nobody will question His authority. Allah made it so much so that it continued raining for 1 week, non-stop. The following Jummah, the man returned, the same man who asked for rain the last Friday, said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, our crops are now dying again. There is flood everywhere, and the rain has not stopped. Can you beg Allah to stop the rain? And the Prophet raised his hand again and said, Hawalayna, la alayna, not on us anymore, ala al-jibal, on the mountain. The companion said they saw the cloud moving, like as if somebody is holding the remote controller, you know, controlling the movements of the cloud. As the Prophet was saying, la alayna, not on us anymore, ala al-jibal, on the mountain, you know, on the valley. And the cloud started moving towards the valley, towards the mountain, until it stopped raining before he stopped praying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are part of the musiba that can actually befall the earth. And when musiba befalls the earth, of course people on the earth, they will feel it. They will have a taste of that musiba, one way or the other. They may feel it more than one another. You know, not in the same level, but people will suffer for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's no musiba that befalls, you know, the earth or on the earth, وَلَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ, and not even your souls, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا, except that musiba has been written somewhere. It is written that it will happen. Wala fi anfusikum, the musiba that befalls the soul, individual musiba, is part of the world. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written as part of the world, that people will experience musiba one way or the other. It is like an arrow that is flying. So you have a lot of arrows of musiba flying here and there. The musiba that will befall an individual is, the arrow is coming, it will not land on anybody's body. until it gets to that individual age. So the arrow will land on him. That is his own musibah. Allah has destined that the musibah that will befall every individual has been written before now. Illa fi kitabin min qabl an nabra'aha. Before the creation of everything, before the creation of the musibah itself, before the creation of the one who is befalling, you know, that the musibah befalls, before the creation of everything in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen that there is musibah, and musibah will befall certain individuals in a particular time, and this so and so thing will be responsible for it. What will be the result of that musibah? Everything has been written, you know, spelled out in detail in Allahul Mahfuz. So that is why, as Muslims, we have to be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of ease and at times of difficulty. None of these times, none of these periods will happen to one except that Allah knows about it. Except that it has been written that we are going to experience ease at a particular point in time. What will be responsible for the ease? It has been written. What will be the result of that ease being experienced? It has also been written. So a Muslim has to be fully submissive to Allah. Allah is great. And the one that is going to experience musibah, fitna, of this life, has also been written. Whether somebody is responsible or not responsible, it has been written that so-and-so musibah will befall so-and-so person. What is going to be the sabab? It has been written. When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? The circumstances surrounding the happening of that fitna, you know, have been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why understanding Qadar will make a Muslim to be more submissive to Allah. Understanding Qadar will make a Muslim to take life so easy. You take it so easy. You be calm because you understand that no matter how struggle you want to become, you want to struggle to achieve anything in life, no matter how struggle you, how much you struggle, if Allah has not destined that thing for you, it will never be for you. Prophet Muhammad said, you should know that innama akhta'aka lam yakun li yusibak. Whatever thing that missed you, something that missed you, does not come to you, lam yakun li yusibak. It is only because it was not written for you. It was not written that you get it. Wa ma asabaka, and whatever you are able to get, lam yakun li yusibak. It is because it is for you and it is not meant to miss you. So Allah has written it for you. That is why you get it. It's not by your struggle. It is not by your intellect. It is not by your influence or by your connection. Yes, don't rely on connections. Don't rely on influence. If it is not for you, no matter how connected someone might be, wallahi, it will never be for him. Something is going to be an hindrance that will go beyond that connection, wallahi. And that is why Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if all human beings gather together, in ijtama'at al-insu wal-jinn, ala an yanfa'uka bishay'in, lan yanfa'uk illa bishay'in, qad katabahu Allahu laka. If all human beings gather themselves, not only human beings, even the demons, all together, all the kings of the world, all the presidents of the world, superpowers of the world, they all come together, ala ayam fa'uk, to benefit you with something, to provide you with something, to make somebody a billionaire in this life. He said, lam yam fa'uk, they won't be able to achieve it. They won't be able to benefit you with that thing. illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allahu laka. It is only what Allah has written for you will become for you. It's only what has been written for you. Allah, if every Muslim understands this, we will take life so easy. People wanted to invest in somebody. Now let us raise him high. Let us help him. Let us raise his status. It is only Allah who can raise somebody's status. But some people came together to raise the status of the person economically. What can we do for him? Let us put some money together. Two million, 10 people, not 20 million, right? And they gave him the 20 million. Start your business based on your plan. Start your business. He invested the 20 million in his business. He has bought all machines. He has bought this and that. Eh? To begin the business, COVID-19 came up. Everybody stay in your house. SubhanAllah, he was crying. The whole resources got rotten, spoiled, got expired in his store. Everybody stay indoors. That is a musibah, qadar, that goes beyond human influence. Wallahi. People thought, with this 20 million, he'll be able to achieve something in life. Within 1 year, 2 years of running the business, he'll start making a lot of profit. COVID-19 started. Everybody locked down. He stayed indoors, locked the whole store. If you open, you are in trouble. You're even beating people for coming out. SubhanAllah, arresting people for coming out. So the whole thing got expired. You know, before the lockdown was over, he was crying. People who helped him out, they got tired that, it's like some people, they said they are following this man from their village. I think it's not destined to be rich. That is the corner of Allah playing out. Eh? That is the interpretation of that hadith. In ijtama'at al-ins wal-jinn 'ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in. Let all the world come together to benefit you with something. Lam yanfa'uk. They won't be able to do it. Illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allahu laka. Except what Allah has destined for you. And that is it. People try to help this man, but unfortunately, that thing was not meant for him. It was not meant for him. Maybe his father, is for him to be getting little things on daily basis for consumption, for livelihood. He is not somebody that will have more than enough for savings that will make him a billionaire. Maybe it's not destined to be. Maybe if he becomes one, he will stop worshipping Allah. Maybe if he becomes one, he will start committing shirk in the name of not wanting to go back destitute. In the name of protecting his wealth and property, he will start committing shirk. Now that he doesn't have enough, there's no need to commit shirk. He does not have a reason to commit shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined some people to be like that. His entire life, Allah will be giving him little provision that will be sufficient for him and his family. And he'll be able to protect his religious practices till he dies. He will die upon that religious practices, understanding iman. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for him. That is qadar. And that is a sign that Allah loves him. That is a sign that Allah loves him. Allah will try some people with wealth and they will go astray. Qarun is a living example. The life example of Qarun, he was poor as well before. Then Allah tried him with wealth. What happened to him? He became arrogant. He never ascribed the words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His people were advising him that, oh, Qarun, fear Allah. وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. What Allah has given you of wealth and property, seek al-jannah with it. Seek al-jannah with it. وَلَتَنْفَ نَصِيبَكَ من الدنيا. Do not forget your portion of this world. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be advised and be good the way Allah has been good to you. He will advise me. Be good to other people too, the way Allah has been good to you. But how did Qarun, how did he respond to them, to all this advice, piece of advice? He said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I gathered this wealth because I am very, very intelligent. SubhanAllah. You gather this wealth because you are intelligent, because you are influential, because you are this and that. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Doesn't he know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَهْلَكَ الْقُرُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. Allah has destroyed generations before him. Or Allah has destroyed before him. Man whom أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. People who are stronger than he is. People who are أَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا, who gathered wealth more than he gathered today. Allah says he destroyed them, nothing happened. So because of his arrogance, why did he become arrogant? Because of his wealth. أَرَآهُ سَغْنًا. Because he saw himself to be self-sufficient, then that made him to be arrogant. SubhanAllah. Allah says, one day Qarun brought out his wealth to flaunt, to do yanga among the people. All his men, they were carrying the keys, you know, to his safe, the key to his store. And those keys, not small keys like today, they were giant keys with chains with which he would lock the store where he kept his gold, you know, silver, wealth, SubhanAllah. So they were carrying all these things, they were carrying some of the steel, and they were moving on the street. People were gathered to watch them. Some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some people that were ignorant, they were saying that, oh, Allah should give me the wealth of Qarun. Allah should give me this, the wealth of Qarun. Allah says they were ignorant. By the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came upon Qarun, while he was moving on the street with his property, with his men, Allah says, فَخَطَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused earthquake to happen on him and his wealth and property. The land earthquake happened. He was swallowed. He was consumed by the earthquake. All his property, all his houses, you know, all his wealth, his men, everything was consumed by this earthquake. Then Allah now refers back to those people who were saying yesterday that Allah should give us the wealth of Qarun. When they saw what happened to him, they said, oh Allah, forgive us. We never knew that this is how his life would end. So they prayed to Allah to forgive them. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Is it that Al-Qiyamah? That Al-Jannah? It is not meant for everybody. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ. It is meant for those who do not speak arrogance on the hard surface. As a result of how much do they have in their pocket? As a result of wealth and property. The nature of wealth is that anybody that has it may likely become arrogant. That is the nature of wealth. Why? Allah says because he will see himself being self-sufficient. That what can I not control with wealth? Is it money? Is it, what do you have? What do you need? He can control people. He can control, you know, people of authority even. Because of the money, everybody will say yes sir, yes sir to him. You see people in uniform, they will say yes sir. Because he's carrying, driving latest car. Yes, he will give them dollars. He will give them money. What they have not earned in their life before. So because of the fact that he sees himself to be self-sufficient, that there's nothing his money cannot acquire. Allah says, "Abu Sagnan, inna ila rabbika ruj'a." Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. He has forgotten that everything about him will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will return to Allah. He will die with the wealth and property he has gathered. None of this property can avail him. Look at the man who gathered wealth. He gathered wealth. He has built houses in Abuja, in Lagos, Banana Island, Kinika Island. The new one they are building at beside the beach, on top of the beach. You know, he has bought land for billions of naira. He has gone to the US to buy houses. He has bought houses in the UK. He has bought houses everywhere in the world. Still, he stole another 40 billion naira. For what again? What is he going to use that money for? To buy another house? Subhanallah. That is the nature of, you know, he will never be satisfied. They will never be satisfied. He has a lot of luxurious cars. His living is luxury. See, he's still stealing property that belongs to the whole nation. One person will steal it. This person who has stolen it, he has houses everywhere in the world. What does he want to use that money stealing for again? That is greed. He will never be sufficient. He will never be okay. That is the nature of wealth. Continue to gather. Al-haqum al-takasur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Until he dies. Wallahi, until he dies. And when he dies, he's not going to be buried with the whole of the property. Even if he says, bury me in my house, which of the houses? He has in Banana Island, he has in Lekki, he has in Bia, in Ikoyi, in Abuja, in Port Harcourt, in Warri, in the US. Yes, which of the houses? Are they going to dissect him, cut him into pieces, and start burying the part of his body in all these houses? That's not possible. He will bury it in just a single house. If that is his wish, and they want to actualize it, they want to implement it, just in one of his houses, and that's all. That's the end of him. People will inherit and fight over the whole of his property. They will fight over the whole of his property. You see the man that died recently, maybe last year, or was last year, last 2 years? Yes. After amassing wealth and building what nobody has ever built before, he did not even live in that house. He did not live to live in the house. And you see what happened? His family member, one of his children and family member, were quarreling over his property. That is it. The one who gathered the property is in the grave. And people are here fighting for that property. And that is why we have to fear Allah. We have to fear Allah. We have to remember Al-Qiyamah. Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ That Al-Jannah is not for everybody. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ It is strictly for those who do not seek عُلُو. You know, arrogance. They want to become this and that. فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادَ They are not people of indecent acts. They are not people of indecent acts. And that is why we have to be good representatives of Islam on this hard topic. May Allah make it easy for us. So part of the fitna of this world is that Allah is going to try us. See our physical from ourselves, from our body. Allah will try some people with ill health. Wallahi, it is part of the trial of Allah. It's part of the trial of Allah. It's part of the way through which Allah tries his slaves. Especially those who are trying to move closer to him. Allah has a lot of weapons. Allah has a lot of instruments. You know, Nabiullahi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was tried with what? With ill health. It was a trial upon the Nubuwa he was holding, that he was a prophet of Allah, and he was sick for several years. That was a trial upon his Nubuwa, that people were asking that, are you truly a prophet of Allah? And you have been sick for years, I say you are a prophet of Allah, and you cannot even get up from your sick bed. He was not dead. It was a trial upon his Nubuwa. It was a trial upon his Iman. But what did he say? He was only praying to Allah. Inni masani yadurru wa anta arhamur rahimin. That was the only statement of Nabiullah Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. He never said he was tired. He never said he was tired of Islam. He never said he was tired of the prophethood given to him. He said, Rabbi, O my Lord, inni masani yadurru. I am experiencing difficulty. I'm experiencing pain. After how many years? I'm experiencing pain. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful Allah. That was his prayer. He will continue saying, inni masani yadurru. Oh my Lord, I'm experiencing pain. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Wallahi, if we call on Allah with sincerity, Allah answers prayer. If you call on Allah with sincerity, wallahi, Allah answers prayer. If Allah did not answer immediately, Allah has already answered. But how? The how of it is what we don't know. Allah was keeping the answer to the prayer of Ayyub to the time it will be needed. So he never shook his iman. His iman was intact. And he kept on saying, Inni masani yadurru, O Allah, I'm experiencing pain and difficulty. Once I have a rush in me, be merciful with me, O my Lord. How many people have been sick today that their sickness has not even gone more than a year? In fact, a month. Just because of the fact that the doctors are saying, we don't even know. We have been trying this and trying that. The next thing is for them to face the shock of the herbalist. You know? So go and do something else. Seek medication from the traditionalist. What kind of medication are you seeking from the traditionalist? Huh? Who's going to use the head of animals, the body part of human beings, or the body part of animals, you know, to make concoction for you? This is haram. Why will you visit a herbalist? Why will you visit an alpha, who is also another herbalist, you know, in his own way? They are not different. You have lost hope in reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, La taqnutu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the rahmah of Allah. Rahmah belongs to Allah, absolutely. La taqnutu min rahmatillah. If you are praying, pray with utmost sincerity, with hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your prayer. The Prophet said to Allah, it is surprising that you see a slave of Allah, he'll be praying. He has been praying for something, just one thing. He has been praying. Allah is looking at him. Allah has plans for him. He has been praying. Then when it is just an arm's length for Allah to answer his prayer, he will say, I have been praying all these years and Allah did not answer my prayer. Then he will stop praying. The Prophet said his case is amusing. It's amazing that just continue for just 1 week more. Allah has been looking at him that he has been praying for 3-4 years. The Prophet said it's just a span, like maybe just 1 day or 1 week or 2 weeks for Allah to grant him his wish, his request. The Prophet said he would just say that I'm tired of praying. I've been praying for all these years and my prayer has not been answered. SubhanAllah. The Prophet said, do not lose hope. La taqnutu min rahmatillah. It might be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way he tried Nabiullah Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. Ayyub was patient upon that trial. He was patient upon that trial. So, wala fi anfusikum. Allah can try you from within yourself. From the body, from our health issue, Allah can try us. Allah can try us from our wealth and property. Wallahi, from our wealth and property, Allah can try us. Lots of wealth, lots of money, lots of property. You know, it can happen that you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to do anything. In my khutbah today, you know, I was talking about I was talking about representing Islam in a good way. That be a good representative of Islam. Then I narrated the incident of Ali radiallahu anhu. Each time I talk about that incident, it's amazing. Ali radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa. You know what happened? He lost his armor. He could not find his armor. Then one day he saw the armor with a Yahudi. A Yahudi stole the armor. You know? Then the Yahudi continued to claim that it belongs to him. Then he was taken to court, Sharia court. The Khalifa and the Yahudi in Sharia court. Now, the judge asked Ali, radiallahu anhu, who can bear you witness that that armor belongs to you? It was filed. You could not present any witness. Then, after a while, the judge ruled that the armor belongs to the Yahudi and the left. And the Khalifa did not say, I am the Khalifa. I will take over the armor forcefully, even though it actually belongs to him. You know, it actually belongs to him. But because the judgment has been passed, he accepted the judgment. You know what happened? The Yahudi, his conscience could not accept it. He went to Ali and apologized. And he said, how could a Khalifa, a president, accept the judgment even when he knew it was on the truth? Ah, that there, Islam must be very, very good. He accepted Islam because of that and even returned the armor. So I brought that to say that that is a good representation of Islam. When you represent Islam well, in the presence of the people, people will accept Islam. You know? So, but look at that. He accepted it like Ali accepted that that thing has gone forever. Like the first has gone. So a motive at times might be that you lost something that is bearing to you and you could not find it. And you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping it for you to have in the future or on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah will reward you for your patience. You know, for being patient. So this is a lesson that musibah can be from loss of property. Musibah can be from loss of wealth. Musibah can be from loss of, you know, businesses. Can be from loss of the loved ones, wife, children, you know, family members, and the like that. Musibah can come from anywhere, any angle. It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tries his slaves with anything he wishes to try his slaves. Especially a slave who is well devoted to the servitude of Allah. He may likely experience the trials of Allah more. And actually, one of the scholars said that if you see yourself drawing closer to Allah with iman, with taqwa, with act of worship, and musibah continues to befall you, and you see yourself sincerely drawing closer to Allah, they said, know that Allah is purifying you. Know that Allah is washing off all your shortcomings, misdeeds, you know, with those masa'ib, those trials, those fitnas. Allah is wiping them away with those musibah. Allah does that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah says, ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum illa min qabli an nadra'aha. Inna dhalika ala Allahi yasir. That is so easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to implement. It has been written, it is not today. That musibah that happened has been written, min qabl an nadra'aha, before the creation of everything, before the creation of that musibah itself. And that is why the Prophet said to Allah sallam, inna Allah khalaqa al-khalaqa al-qadar al-khala'ik. Allah has destined the creations of everything. How can I call? قَدَّرُ الْمَقَادِيرِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقُ الْخَلَائِقِ أو كما قال خمسين ألف سنة. He said 50,000 years before Allah created everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written what will become, what will happen. Allah has written it 50,000 years before the creation of the heaven and earth. Subhanallah. Inna dhalika fi kitabin. Inna dhalika fi kitabin. Wa inna dhalika ala Allah yaseer. He said that is in a book. That is in a book. Imagine everything that will happen is written in a single book. Everything before the creation of the heavens and earth, before the creation of everything that exists, everything that will happen has been written in a single book. Before we start to be surprised about how great that booklet is, look at what human beings are creating too. In the past, if you want to save the data, we save it in what? It's one square, this like this. That's one big diskette. We have diskette. If you type in that olden days Microsoft Word, Microsoft, can you come one olden days Microsoft Word like that? You save it in a diskette. If I see that diskette cannot contain too much of this, you know, it is filled up already. You look for another diskette to save another file. As technology advances, what happens? We now have microchips. We have memory cards. Very small chips like that, that can save thousands of files. Heavy files are saved, you know, in flash. We talk about 60 gig, we talk about terabytes. Talk about terabytes. You see a laptop that has 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes. You know, you have small flash drives that can contain data, thousands, millions of data, books that can fill up the whole of this masjid. The whole thing will be compressed, you know, in that single chip. So if Allah says that everything that has been happening in this world has been written in a single booklet, are we going to doubt it? When we can see what human beings are creating, what about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create? Allah says, in the Zalika Kitab, everything is in the book. You coming to the masjid to sit down to listen to the truth today, it has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the heaven and the earth, in the book. What is going to happen next, we don't know, but it's in that book. What is going to happen next? When we want to break our fast, what are we going to use to break our fast? After breaking our fast, what's going to happen? Everything has been written. So if a Muslim understands that if evil befalls me today, if something unexpected happens to me today, it is, that's been written, we do not have control over it. Yes. We do not have control. If you try to protect yourself, I've told us before, somebody tries as much as possible to protect himself. I told, was it here that I had a friend who wanted to travel one time ago? We wanted to embark on a travel, and you know, it was his first time. The visa has been approved. He has bought his ticket. He has done this and that. It was tomorrow for him to go. Everybody was happy and prepared among the family members. Eh? They were praying, mashallah. They could not even say that I want to go out far away. One of them said, no, don't go anywhere. Just sit down at home. Because you are traveling tomorrow, you should be prepared for your flight. Now, at night, it was just at the, it was outside of his house, of his apartment. Eh? Resting, lying, just, you know, resting on a car parked in front of his house. And he was just taking something on phone at night. And a car came into the street, brake failed, and hit him so violently that the whole of the two legs got broken completely. I got the call later that something happened to your friend. Eh? He was supposed to travel tomorrow. What happened? He was supposed to travel tomorrow. Yes. Now in the hospital. He cannot go anymore. Yes, he could not go. That is called Qadar of Allah. Everybody is planning. I've planned for the travel. He has paid, he has booked his flight, he has done everything. The whole documentation, everything. He has his bag ready. His luggage, everything was ready. But Allah says, you are not traveling tomorrow. But who knows? Nobody knew the Qadar. No one knew the Qadar. He did not go out. If he had gone out and there was an accident, say, why would you go out? People would say, why would you go out? You're traveling tomorrow, you're supposed to be indoors. But he didn't even go, he was just outside his house. And the fitna happened. So, Qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen in a couple of minutes? We don't know. Only Allah knows what is written in the Qadar. So anytime a fitna befalls somebody, the first thing he should say is Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Meaning, oh Allah, reward me for this musibah. Huh? Because I am patient. Oh Allah, reward me. And replace it with something better. A mu'min should not start running helter-skelter. That after musibah be calling him, he wants to know Bolo Tishele, who is responsible for this. You know, that guy happens not to be a Nigerian, but an African. You know, so I don't know their ideology, their family. Where to be a Yoruba? You know what will happen to that family? That has the mother will have to remember by all means the last quarrel he had with somebody. Who was the person she quarreled with? She will have to start thinking what happened a couple of days ago, so that she can mention somebody's name that so and so person was responsible. Some other tribes too do the same thing. But the Qadar of Allah, nobody will miss it. Like I mentioned, they are like arrows flying here and there. Individuals have their own arrows. When it is time for the arrow to strike them, it will strike them. Nobody can stop it. No one can stop it. So that is why, when it happens, what do we do? We say Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. It happened to the best and the best of mankind, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What fitna do you want to mention here in the world today that has not happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Fitna of losing family members, children, losing wives, most beloved wife Khadija died at the time when he needed her the most. His uncle, died at the time when he needed him the most. So you see, then he started having children. His children started dying, one after the other. You know what it means? That you have seven children, and they started dying one after the other. He was the one bearing these children, one after the other. And the worst fitna could be greater than this. People will tell the person, you have to be here, they will tell the person, you have to do something about yourself. What could a prophet do about himself? He is a prophet of Allah already. The closest to Allah. Nobody can be that close to Allah anymore. But still, Allah tried him, tried his iman, you know, through him, through his family member. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Those that are likely to experience the trial of Allah the most, those that are likely to experience the trial of Allah the most, they are the prophets, the messengers, because they are the closest to Allah. He said, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Then those that may experience like that as well, or close to that, are those that are trying to be like those prophets in terms of moving closer to Allah, in terms of worship, in terms of, you know, iman, taqwa. Those who are trying to move closer to Allah, they may also experience something close to what the prophets of Allah experience. But when they experience it, what they do? What do they do? He says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The affair of a believer is highly surprising. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. He says, every of his affairs is always good for him. That is a mu'min. That is a mu'min. In أَصَوَبَتْهُ سَرَّهُ. He said, if good things befall him, good things happen to him, he was able to win the contract, he was able to do this, he was able to do that, good things happening to him, شَكَرَهُ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. He will thank Allah, he will be grateful, you know, he will show gratitude to Allah. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, and Allah is going to bless that for him. وَإِنْ أَصَوَبَتْهُ ضَرَّهُ, and if evils befall him, a mu'min, صَبَرَهُ, he'll be patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, and that thing is going to, you know, become good for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَوَبَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's no musibah that befalls human beings on this earth, وَلَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ, or even musibah befalling them in themselves, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ, except that it is written already before they were created. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَذْرَأَهَا, before we created them, we have written everything that will happen. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Allah says that is so easy for him. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. So that when evil befalls somebody, you don't overcomplain. You don't express the pain beyond normal. You don't start beating up yourself. You know, you don't start destroying things because you lose your loved one. What should the Prophet do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What would he have done? He cried too, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, he was shedding tears. And somebody said, a companion said, "Once I hear Rasulullah, you are crying too much, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "Yes, this tears." It's a tears of Rahmah, to show Rahmah for the child I lost. You know, it is not that I am blaming Allah for what he made to happen to me. No. So it is not haram to shed tears, but it is haram not to guard utterances, to start raining curses on oneself when fitna happens. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ. For somebody to not ask, shouting that, what is the essence of my worship? Why am I doing salah? Why am I doing this and that? You know, all these, they are excessive. But the person will be blamed for what he's saying, even after fitna has befallen him. I've narrated the hadith of a woman who lost her child, and she went to the grave of that child, and she bowed down there, and she was crying. He kept on crying and crying and crying. The Prophet was passing by to Allah and saw her. The Prophet said, "Ittaqi Allah wa sabiri." For this woman, fear Allah and be patient. She didn't look up to see the person that was talking to her. She just shouted out of anger, "Ilayka anni," go away from me. "Fa'innaka lam tusa bi musibati." The musiba that befell me did not happen to you, so you don't know how it feels in the body. You know, Omaboshinori Lara. That was what she said to the Prophet. But she didn't know she was talking to the Prophet. She didn't even look up. The Prophet did what? Left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, the one who was crying for pain like that, she would later get tired of it. After she had cried and got tired, she stood up. Then people that were there, when she shouted at the prophet, they now told him that, "Madam, do you know the person you shouted at the other time?" She said, "Who?" They said, "Rasulullah." She said, "Hey, subhanAllah." Then she ran to the house of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She did not see anybody to talk to. Then she shouted from outside, "Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, please forgive me. I didn't know you were the one the other time. I didn't know." The Prophet responded from indoor, "Innama sabru inda sadmatil ula." The Prophet told her, "You see, the patience that will earn you reward is the patience you have immediately fitna befalls you. Immediately you hear the bad story, immediately you remember the fitna, or immediately you were given the bad story, the information about the fitna, and you are patient, that is when Allah will reward you. Not when you are exhausted of crying, you are crying, then you are exhausted. There's nothing you can do again. They say you are patient. Allah will not reward you for that anymore." So the Prophet told her immediately, "Innama sabru inda sadmatil ula." The patience that you will be rewarded over is the one you have immediately the fitna happens. So the Prophet would have to just go, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, like, you know, "Man laysa minna man lakum al-khududa aw shaqqal al-juyuba." The Prophet said, it's not among us. The one that when fitna happens to him, he starts beating himself, slapping himself, you know, hitting himself on the ground. And then Lord Warren can go, and then Lord Shekinik hold, and Shekinik of Islam has happened though, this and that. He said, and he keeps tearing his cloth because of fitna. The Prophet said, "Laysa minna," he is not among us. Fitna is bound to happen. What level for individuals is what we don't know. It might be much for somebody, it might be little for somebody. What are we supposed to do? What if not before our brother, we visit him, our sister, we visit her. We try to caution utterances. Because at that moment in time, Shaitan is there to make him utter statement of kufr. Shaitan is there to make him disbelieve in Allah. So Islam encourages visiting them and staying close to them to guard the utterances. That make sure you say what is good. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It is Allah's destiny. If this does not happen, maybe something worse will have happened. We encourage them to say what is good. Not to worsen the situation. That, hey, some people will be there saying, "Hey, Abiru, it's not one lane. Am I doing you? You are worsening the situation. You are worsening." When Aisha radiallahu anha was crying over something that happened to her, and she was with her father, and she was crying about the hadith of Ifki, when people lied against her that she committed zina, and she left the Prophet's house, she went to her father's house, then she was crying, and the woman came. The Prophet was there, Abu Bakr was there, and the woman said, "Oh Aisha, if you want, you can rent me, you can hire me to cry for you. I cry for people, on behalf of people, I can cry for 2 days. The Prophet looked at her and said, "If you don't want the wrath of Allah to be upon you, leave this place." These are the people who work in situations for people who are experiencing fitna. No, we try to soften their mind, soften the situation for them. Their hal at that moment in time, Shaitan wants to get it worse. So we try as much as possible to come in and say, "No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked something great for you in plan. When you are patient, we advise them, you know, we encourage them so that their utterances can be guarded, you know, so that they don't overreact in the way that they affect even their iman, their taqwa, and their religious and observance. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the kind of discussion. So Allah says, "Likai la ta'asaw ala mafatakum wa la tafrahu bima atakum wallahu la yuhibbu kulla mutakallim fakhur." Inshallah, we're going to stop here. And then next week, inshallah, we'll continue. But we'll still continue tomorrow, bi-ithnillah, and on Sunday. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Question? Alaikum salam. Thank you. Okay. No. Yeah. No, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sister and then grant her al-Jannah. So for the benefit of our sisters, so a sister died and her colleague, who got the information, who was welcome to be her best friend, uttered statements beyond what is normal in the Sharia, like saying that, oh Allah, you're not supposed to do this. Oh Allah, you're not supposed to do this. Who are we to tell Allah that he's not supposed to do something? Who are we to tell Allah? That's why I said that when fitna happens, wallahi, we need to move close to our people. We need to move close to them. Yeah. If people are not there, maybe she would even utter what is worse than that. You understand? So that's a serious statement. Pray to Allah to forgive her. Afterwards, we still have to tell her to do istighfar. To do istighfar. Emotion, took over her. Emotion actually took control of her. That was why she uttered that statement. Not her actually, but because of the situation. So she will be excused. Allah alam, we pray to Allah to forgive her, but we still need to tell her to do istighfar. You understand? I've seen somebody, a sister as well, who also stopped praying for Allah for like 30 days because of a fitna. She stopped worshipping Allah, because of a fitna that befell her. So she stopped praying. And later she realized and she was asking about, the fatwa, what does she do about this salah of 30 days that she stopped praying. So, yeah, we really need to, when we hear a fitna befalling someone, people who like are close to the person, we should move close to those people, that may overreact, to caution them and to try as much as possible to guard their tongue, especially expression. That's very important. So we ask her to ask for forgiveness. And next time, yes, we can't do more than what you did, because it's just to continue cautioning her that no, don't say that, no, don't say that, no, don't say that. That's what the highest we can do. We cannot cover her mouth with our hands and things like that. So being the gender difference. So I will pray for her as well for guidance and for forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and her and everyone of us. Subhanallah, Allahumma alhamdulillah, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.